The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Amen. Today, on All Saints Sunday, my favorite Sunday of the Christian year, we take time to remember and celebrate those who have died, those who have touched our lives, those who have given us their legacy. I looked up legacy on the internet because it is the 21st century, and the first definition that I found was very disappointing. It simply said, something such as property or money that is received from someone who has died. But you see, legacy is more than simply inheritance. Susan P. Bosick of the Legacy Project puts it like this: legacy is about life and living. It's about learning from the past, living in the present, and building for the future. She goes on to say that ecologists tell us that a young tree grows better when it's planted in an area with older trees. The reason, it seems, is that the roots of the young tree are able to follow underground the pathways created by former trees, and thus implant themselves more deeply. Over time, the roots of many trees may actually graft themselves to one another, creating an intricate, interdependent foundation hidden under the ground. And in this way, stronger trees share resources with the weaker ones, and the whole forest becomes healthier. That is legacy, an interconnection across time with a need for those who have come before us and a responsibility to those who come after us. Interconnected roots of many generations of trees building the foundation of the forest. I love that because that is how I think of the church and this religion called Christianity that binds us together across time and place. Paul, in the book of Hebrews, called it the great cloud of witnesses. This cloud of witnesses included prophets, the truth tellers, who encouraged God's people to repent and return to God again and again. It includes the apostles and the martyrs who witnessed to their faith in a man called Jesus, who was the Son of God. Throughout our history, the church has held up certain people as saints. Protestants don't have the same legacy of saints that the Catholic and Orthodox churches do. But we're familiar with the idea. Certain people lived out their faith in God in remarkable ways, healing, serving, sharing, often living in poverty, and sometimes being martyred. After their death, the Catholic Church examines their life and sometimes determines that that person is a saint. The most recent example of that would be Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa. And the whole world, not just the Catholics, rejoiced when she was ratified. But really, I've never thought about All Saints Day as being just about these certain people who were worthy to be called saint. I prefer Nadia Boltz-Weber, who says, "What we celebrate when we celebrate All Saints is not the superhuman faith and power of a select few, but as we celebrate God's ability to use flawed people to do divine things." The legacy of the saints recognized by the church is intermingled with the legacies of all Christians to create the foundation upon which we walk through life, in turn creating our own legacy. This idea of leaving something of significance for the next generation, of making a difference, is being played out right now in our own country. We watched legacy being made last Wednesday night, did we not? The Chicago Cubs, after 108 years, in the 10th inning of Game 7 of the World Series, won the game. This game will become legendary as the players now have the legacy of champions. Even the most ordinary players now have an extraordinary legacy. I had to go there, you know that. Other legacies are being made right now as well. Historians are talking about the legacy of the first African American president, who was elected not once, but twice. Yes. What they are talking about is how that presidency will be remembered by generations yet to come, about this historical breaking of the barrier of race. We have two significant candidates running in the presidential race to follow President Obama and create their own legacy. One candidate would be the first woman to sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. The other would be one of six people who were elected to the office of president that had never previously run for office. This election, as historical as it is, is also hysterical. Not in the sense of being funny, because there really isn't anything to laugh about anymore, but in the sense of building hysteria. Seriously, the legacy of this election won't be one that we look back on with pride. But legacy is about taking the past and letting it shape the future. And I hope the future beyond this election leads people to realize that things like civility, truth, respect, compromise, and honor are important values, ones which we desire to see put back in our political world. Amen? The legacy of the history of our country is one of overcoming obstacles, of doing the impossible. Whether it's the Cubs winning the World Series or living through a presidency that is not what we hoped for, of facing difficult times and growing through them. We have come through wars. We have had to fight one another again and again over civil rights. We have lived through famine, drought, floods, the Dust Bowl, and more. What this country has gone through in its history reads like a litany of the plagues of Exodus. And through it all, we have remained a nation, sometimes more united than others, but still a nation. And whatever happens on Tuesday and in the weeks and months to come will be part of that legacy as well. For some of us, it may feel like we've won a great victory. And for others, it may feel like the world is never going to be the same. One of Pastor John's favorite quotes is from Julian of Norwich, who says, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Those are the words that I would carry with you today and tomorrow and Tuesday and the days beyond. In the midst of the hysteria, the anxiety, let us make today a day to remember the saints, the people who have died, who have left us their legacy. Maybe it is someone whose name was read aloud. Maybe it is someone else who is close to you, who mentored you, loved you, raised you, cared for you. These are the saints that are ratified in our hearts. It's not always easy to talk about death. We euphemize it as much as we can. We say that someone has passed on or gone to glory. I actually like that one. Or passed away. Yet even the psalmist understood that everybody dies. In her prayer to Yahweh, she says, "For you know how we are made. You remember that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass." Then she goes on to remind us of God's legacy. God's legacy is everlasting love. "But your steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting on those who revere you, and your righteousness to our children's children." That is the legacy of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer for us and for the world. Our days may be as grass, but God's legacy of love is forever. I think of those in my own life who have died and who have left a legacy in my heart, whose strong roots have intertwined with my weaker ones to make a strong foundation of faith for others to walk on. People like my grandfather, ordained in 1942. He served as a chaplain in World War II. And the last time I visited him in the nursing home, he was so deeply into dementia that he didn't know who I was. As I got ready to leave, I just said, "Grandpa, can I pray with you?" And he kind of nodded his head. So I said a brief prayer, and then the words came out of my mouth, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And my grandfather's voice was strong and sure and not hesitant. And he said, "Hallowed be thy name." And we finished the prayer together. Just as there are those whose lives have blessed us, we are also intertwined with others to whom we leave our legacy. As Christians, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of legacy are we going to leave? Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, gives us that roadmap. He says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Love your enemies. Pray for those who abuse you. Bless those who curse you. This is hard. This election cycle has shown us that. I've read of spouses who aren't speaking to each other Siblings and families who are so polarized, the family itself is fracturing. Neighbors and friends who are at one another's throats. Facebook friends unfriending each other. This isn't the legacy that God calls us to live. God says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. If we did that, if we truly did that, we would have the kind of world we all want to live in. A world of civility, of kindness, of compassion and understanding for one another and for all of creation itself. Legacies are not reserved solely for the powerful, the important, the famous, or the best people. They belong to every ordinary person who chooses to follow God's teaching in extraordinary ways. A clubhouse full of scrappy baseball players have left a legacy. People in our lives, people like my grandfather, left a legacy. The prophets, apostles, saints have left their legacies. Those whom we have loved have left their legacies. Today, as we remember those whose lives have been intertwined with ours, I invite us to also think about how we want our legacy remembered, and then live every day to build that legacy for all of those with whom our lives are intertwined. Amen.